Welcome to the Flyover Ministry Podcast, a practical youth ministry podcast for small church leaders by small church leaders. We are grateful that you have joined us for our journey through ministry-related topics that we hope help equip and encourage you as you serve Jesus wherever you are.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Dan.
And I'm Jordan.
And this is Flyover Ministry. Jordan, I was expecting more of a spry response from you from last time. This is the roller coaster you send me on.
I'm lagging a little bit because the...
Oh, dear.
Oh, I was just waiting.
A joke. Don't do that. That is a legitimate problem that we have had.
I wasn't trying to mimic an internet connection failure. It was more like a I'm delayed, and so we're talking. Yeah, that's okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. I do blame your side of the connection every time we have an internet problem, though.
Yeah, I know.
I know the. I mean, the only because the internet is still fairly new in Michigan. I mean, they put in the line only a couple years ago.
Well, it's pretty impressive what the smoke signals can actually carry to our computers these days. So,
right. Have you gotten to the point of indoor heat yet?
Yes, we have discovered fire, and luckily enough, we have plenty of things to burn. So we might have a heads up on you guys there.
Zeke is just rubbing sticks together, trying to start a fire in the stone pit in the middle of.
No, we got a lighter sent to us from a kid from your youth group, so...
careful. that was upsetting. That was Well, we're going to continue talking about identity, and thankfully my identity as a leader is not dependent on the antics of my students. It is not dependent on what I've identified and even jokingly labeled semi-professionalism. I tend to find that there's things that I do, you know, those things that you just kind of stare at the ceiling and think about from your past, like, oh, why did I do this? Your life is just full of regret. I find that I tend to stumble into those more than the average bear, so to speak. But
yeah.
Jordan, is that true for you?
Well, I don't know how often I'm finding myself staring into space, thinking of deep thoughts, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, that not being the case, this is a hard shift here. We're going to talk about the foundations of your student's identity. There we go. And I'm sure that's kind of what Dan was pondering about, like, where do my students get how they are when I see them or something. But that's a little bit of what we're going to talk about today. And this is really important too, because like we talked about last week, we wanted to recognize our foundation is rooted in the identity that Christ gives us, which is super important. And sometimes we can miss that with our students too. Although I think that just because of the profession we're in, we're reminded of that a little bit more consistently. But we want to make sure that we are ministering in a way that understands the foundation of our students' identity ultimately is also rooted in the gospel of Christ and rooted in God's word. And sometimes it's easy for us to forget that. Like, how often do we live and serve in a way in which we mentally maybe think that, you know what, our students, they shouldn't have like this struggle with sin in their lives, or we're surprised when all of a sudden they're disobedient or rude or X, Y, or Z happens, right? And we shouldn't be, because we know that they are people who are dealing with the sin nature, and that God is doing a work in them, and that takes time. The process of sanctification is not fast. It does take time. So we are aware of that. So as we are talking about this, then some of the important foundations and keys for us to be building our ministries and building our own perceptions of our students on are found in that same gospel message that we see in Scripture. So a couple of things just to start with. First of all, a good place to start is going way back to Genesis. And we've talked about this before. Whenever we've had identity issues, But we need to keep this in front of us because we live in a culture that does not believe this or does not understand this in many different ways. And that reality is that our students are people who are created in the image of God and therefore are priceless. And this goes from the best student that you have. You know, we always have somebody in our group that shines and it's just like, man, that one gets it. And it's easy to maybe love that student and see God's work at them and see the value of God in them. But this also goes to the person that is like the most disruptive, the most difficult to work with, the one that just grates on you personally. That person too is made in the image of God and is incalculably valuable because of that truth.
Yeah. It does come back, I think, too, like our identity is found in who God made us to be. And when we think about who God made us to be, it reminds us again of who he is, right? And the philosophical question that people ask about what is the purpose of man? The Presbyterian Catechism has that great response of the purpose of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever, right? The question number one right out of the bat, which I think is just an awesome way to start your catechism. Take notes if you're helping study or even just doing a comparison. Not saying that Luther's is bad, okay? So just stop typing your angry emails.
I'll put my shovel down.
Oh, man. Get the pitchforks. Now, the reminder about, you know, who is God? Well, God is holy and he is perfect and he does not make mistakes. And he is the creator, right? And you consider those two components into how he creates not only the whole of creation, but puts that final exclamation point with the creation of man about God saw everything he made, including man, and it was good. And that imago Dei, right? The image of God, you are an image bearer. Well, what does that mean? It means that you need to employ that spiritual gift of patience and self-control and goodness, and you know, all of the other, and love especially. Oh my goodness, love, especially when that kid is grating on you and you're on hour 14 on your way out to the fly convention. Or give Fly Beyond a quick shout out here. It's still not too late to sign up for that. But as you're on your way to these camps, right, or retreats or whatever it is that you're going to be doing mm-hmm. this summer, dealing mm-hmm. with kids, people are grating. They tend to be that way. But when you remind yourself, like, even the least of these, especially the least of these, made in the image of God, that does change how you love your neighbor. That does influence how you communicate with them. That yeah. does influence the longevity of focusing on, okay, what does ministry right now to this individual look like? Well, this individual kind of needs somebody. You know, how many times do I try and find myself in like the life of my kids and my students where it's I was not this particular individual when I was in youth group.
Of course not.
No, actually I kind of was, right? So
yeah.
It's the kids that act out the most probably need you as a youth pastor or as a leader even more, right? To be giving them that kind of responsibility. But
well, and that really does point out too the another reality that we have to recognize, and that is their lostness, you know?
Right.
And we might be dealing with someone who is like truly and utterly lost. And by saying that qualification, what I simply mean is that they have not encountered Christ yet. We probably have kids in our ministries. I am certainly hoping that we do that have encountered Christ and are not hopelessly lost at that point. But that sin nature is always there, right? And we have to recognize that we should not be surprised when our kids do things like that gratingness that shows up in our own life with those students. Two things that are important to remember. Number one, it's probably a result of sin in them of some sort, whether it's selfishness or you know, you could point to whatever it is. But it also is kind of humbling to think that the reason it's probably grating on you a lot is because that's a lot like you. I know that's true in my life. Like the things that are most annoying to me are the things that I do. And when other people do it, it's just like drives me nuts. And that makes me look at myself and be like, yeah, okay. So that's how I feel to other people.
Yeah. The recent example, someone was talking to me about artificial intelligence, especially mm-hmm. like the image generators, about some of the things that can result from image generation and the like, and the way that AI is programmed by people. This individual was at just commenting on how surprised they were about how much sin has been created because of AI.
Yeah.
And you know what? AI is was kind of coded and created and made by sinners. And when sin is the input, it should not surprise us that that is amplified in the output. And I think what's surprising when you're talking about sin in general is that we tend to like to conceal it. We're pretty good mm-hmm. at concealing it. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of times what you're going to see, especially on AI art generation, is that sin is wide out in the open and it's abrasive. And yeah, you sure. know what? You are dealing with sinners and you are a sinner. So again, attitude check for you as a leader. But you're talking about the foundation of your student's identity. So we recognize, starting with who God is and who he made us to be, and identifying our sin, what is the next thing that we go to then after we've communicated those components to our students?
So the other thing, and I think this is a really comforting thing, is we get to tell them, like, look, you guys are, I don't want to say this in a way that's like a slight to the people who really struggle with like mental disorders of sorts, but really, like, you guys are, what's the word now? It's not bipolar, but like you've got multiple personalities. Like there's a dual reality going on here. Schizophrenic. There we go. Like there's a real part of you that is still the sin nature that chooses sin, that gets stuck there, that you want things that are wrong. But now if you're in Christ, you also have a part of you that has the power of the Holy Spirit, that is the power to do what is right, to do what is good, to do what is holy. And in these things, like, that can also be a part of your identity. So you're going to have both. It's going to be a struggle, a wrestle with both things. But that's a huge part of their identity. And to find comfort in, when you struggle and when you see that struggle, you can go back to Romans 7, like Paul is talking about, and saying, like, look, one of these heroes of the faith is still manifesting this struggle himself in his own life. And he, like, Paul's a pretty up there kind of dude, right? So he's talking about this, and the way he frames it is, when this happens, I recognize that that's not me anymore. Like he goes as far as saying, like, that's not me, but sin in me. So he's like divorced himself from that identity that he once had, recognizing it still impacts his life, but he's not choosing to say, that's who I am. He says, the things that I want to do, it's not me, but sin in me. And then he goes through all that whole thing, and he says, well, who will save me from this body of death? But thanks be to God. And so he looks to Christ. And that's what we get to point our students to, recognizing, like, look, when these things happen, it's not the new you. It's sin that's still there. And sin is going to be breaking us. It's breaking our world. It's breaking everything. And it will continue to do so until their sin is no more when Christ comes back. But you also have life. And when that happens, we show them the gospel. We show them there's Jesus. And that was why he died, to take this from you, to restore you and to change you and transform you.
Right. That's Romans 7, by the way, for those that were curious about what Jordan was just quoting.
Did I not say that?
I think he just jumped into it and didn't indicate the address where people could
go all in.
But I do think they're familiar enough verses for the tens of listeners that we have, that they probably didn't need that clarification. But I think especially when you're dealing with identity, you are talking about sanctification. And you've mentioned this before. So the joy of having Jesus Christ declare us, right? God declares us righteous. Talking about Romans 5, you are made right in God's sight because of Jesus, because what he has done for us. And that is immediate. But you're talking about sanctification, which is Romans 12, and that is a slow process. It's not immediate. It is that slow, ongoing work. So you recognize that work being done in your life, and the joy of discipleship and being that individual who cares and has a heart for all people, especially students, is to remind them that, you know what, this is a journey that we're both on. And I want to encourage and walk alongside of you and to help point you in this right direction. And I think because I recognize how often I, as a leader and just as a brother in Christ, needs to remind myself of who God has made me to be, to continue to remind those students about that component, because there's so many other voices that are trying to catechize them. And we'll talk about that in the next episode for next week. But we're, you know, to be a voice that is hopefully echoing what they're hearing at home and from other adults to say, this is who God has created you to be. You are a part of us, and we are here for you, and we're going to love on you with the love that Christ has shown for us. And that's such an incredibly enormous part of inviting students into something greater than who they are, that they find themselves in who Christ declares them to be, yes, but they also find themselves as a part of the corporate church, where they see, I'm part of something greater than myself, right? The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. Wasn't expecting that quote today, but there it is. Yeah, there's people that need to be reminded of the gospel, of that ongoing work. And
And here's the richness of the pleasure that we get to use God's word to give this to them, right? Because the passage in Romans, we can talk about that. I'm also reminded of Address, you can probably help on this one because you're a better address taker than I am. But there's the such were some of you, but you were washed, you were cleansed. You know, like there's so many passages like that that talk about this was you, but now you're something new. And and bringing our students there and saying, look, guys, like you really have a new identity. Being buried with Christ in baptism and raised again to new life. And going back to Ezekiel, where God is promising to remove your heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh. There's so much that talks about like new life, being born again in John 3, and all these different things that scripture brings to us to give to people to say, this is the hope before us. It is something new. It is something that God is doing in you. And the cross is for you still. And you can still go there. And Jesus' forgiveness for you is still sufficient. His work is still complete. Even if you've done this big bad thing that you're ashamed to talk to me about, his death is still efficacious and it's still for you. Go to him. And there's so much hope in that. And honestly, in this world, we really need that hope. And out of that, then, we can start building different things in our students' lives. We can start taking about, because of this reality of new life, because of who God is, now we can start talking about like maturity. We can start talking about responsibility. For some kids, we can start talking about like God has made you clean. And so it's time for you to represent this reality physically by taking a shower, middle schoolers, right? You know? but we stay at like the real reality here. Like that is where we have to start and how we need to see our students. Work in their life and hopefully be a blessing to them as we point them to Jesus, because your students, they might be able to like think fondly of you for the rest of their lives. But if you keep pointing them to Jesus and they can think awesome about Christ, like what better testimony could we have as a leader than that?
Right. 1 Corinthians 6, by the way.
Yeah.
Such were some
way to go, man.
Yeah.
Dan, the man.
I think about Ephesians as well. Ephesians 4. Ephesians is a great book because you can split it right down the middle. Chapters 1 through 3 talked about justification. Chapters 4, 5, and 6 talking about sanctification. You know, you're addressing, especially in Ephesians 4, Paul talking about taking off the sinful nature and putting on Christ. And it's that very visible change of clothes, right? Where you're taking off, especially when you're talking to your student athletes, you're taking off that sweaty workout clothes or your jersey that you've just been playing on, and you're putting on clothes that you're going to go home in, right? You've taken a shower. You're nice. It's nice and fresh, and it's different. It's markedly different, right? This is who Jesus has made you to be. And yeah, you're right. There is a component where you start small. And you start and recognize that growth takes a long time. I think that's maybe something we can talk about later, is just recognizing the markers of spiritual growth. Because that's, I think sometimes I project a little bit about, here's who my students were, but then, you know, a lot of them graduated. So now we've got a completely different youth group now, where a lot of these new students aren't where these graduating seniors are. And not just physical growth, but spiritual growth especially. You know, don't expect seventh graders to be where the senior hires were in their life with Christ. And even, like, I think about some of these people who have grown up in the church who are further along in their journey than that 70-year-old who just became a Christian, right? Just recognize where people are at. And I'm trying to remember. This is now you put all this pressure on me about the addresses of where these verses are. Just when you're talking to somebody, I mean, Proverbs has quite a bit to say about speaking simply and directly, and not trying to project yourself as being wise, but as one who has been humbled by the mighty hand of God and will be lifted up by his victorious right hand. You know, mixing references there a little bit, but seeing that God is the one who works through us, being mindful of that, that God is the one at work in their hearts. And again, just an incredible honor to be able to join Jesus in that work.
Yeah. I think that wraps it up for this week. And it's a shorter one, but that's okay. Maybe you can have time to brush your teeth a little extra round or something. I don't know. Anyways, actually, one thing I want to do, since Dan brought up earlier this episode our tens of listeners, I'm going to do a shout out to somebody who left us a review. So, Isaac Olson, thank you for listening. We appreciate you and hope that you, as well as the rest of our listeners, are blessed as you go and serve the Lord.
Thanks for listening to Flyover Ministry. You can find, follow, and give feedback on our Instagram and Facebook pages at Flyover Ministry. You can also get in contact with us on our Gmail account, flyoverministrypodcast@gmail.com. You can find other episodes that we've recorded on iTunes and Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts, and please feel free to share them with a friend. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.